What a wonderful God the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, as we worship God, we are just reminded again and again that this God that we worship is a faithful God, is a loving God, and a God who wants to journey with us, and a God who has a great plans for our life. And so we thank God for who the Lord is and the things that He's doing in our lives. Dear friends, wherever you are, and joining us for this worship service, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for joining us. We pray that God will continue to meet us, that God will continue to fulfill all the plans that He has for your life. You know, in this part of the world, particularly during the summer season, many are involved in some kind of gardening. They want to improve their gardens with flowers. They want to have herbs or even vegetables, and some of them even work on their landscape. You know, when I was just looking at this particular season, I'm just reminded of the parable of the sower or the parable of the farmer, where Jesus is teaching us. He's not only teaching us, but He's also empowering us and saying that you need to be the sower for Him. I've entitled today's sermon as Be the Sower. Be the Sower from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. Let's spend some time just praying and ask God to help us as we engage in God's Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray, God, that You will continue to speak to us. Help us, O Lord, to see You. Help us, O Lord, to be people who will live a life that You have planned for us. Help us, O Lord, to be sowers of Your love. Because the world needs Your gospel, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 8 is a very familiar passage or a very familiar parable to many of us. You know, Jesus was a master teacher. In Luke, we read that, you know, when Jesus was teaching, mostly in parables, large crowd of people from every town gathered to hear His teaching. Even though the parables were simple, but they were very relevant and they were very thought-provoking in the hearts and minds of many. And so a multitude of people gathered to hear the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The parable of the sower is a very simple parable and also a very familiar parable. We have heard it in our Sunday school. We have heard it in sermons, we have read books about it. We have also spent some time in our devotions reading on this particular passage. You realize this parable of the sower can be broken down into three primary elements. We see the soil, we see the seed. At the same time, we also see the sower or the farmer in some translations. I want to spend some time today looking at the sower. Because when I see this particular passage, I'm just reminded that God wants each and every one of us to be sowers of His love. Because we live in a world, numerous people have not heard or even experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And so when I look at this particular passage, I realize that God wants us to be sowers, my friend. Three important lessons that we see from this particular parable. Firstly, when you look at the passage in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, you realize the farmer, it says in verse 5, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Simple phrase, but it's a very profound phrase. You know, when you look at that particular phrase or even the sentence, you realize that the sower does not store the seed that was given to him. He does not stockpile it and say, I will use it for another time. But he goes out. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Look at the word very carefully. It's interesting the way Jesus is teaching. He uses the word his seed. In other words, this sower, this farmer is giving away what was given to him, what he has experienced in his life. He knows the value of the seed. He knows that each and every seed that he has are precious things. And so what is happening? He goes out to sow the seed. He doesn't stockpile it. He doesn't save it for a later time. He wants to sow his seed because he knows the value. He knows the impact the seed can have in the ground. You know, when you look at the scriptures, you are always reminded about sowing, to give away the good news of the gospel. You know, each and every one of us have experienced the love of God in our lives. We have experienced healing in our life. We have experienced God's goodness in our life. And many of us, you know, are living testimonies of God's faithfulness, my friend. And many of us can even name the things that God has done or is still doing in our lives. And so, like the sower, the Lord invites us to sow his seed. Like the sower, we should not store the seed. Two passages I just want to read and see how the sower or the farmer is involved. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, Paul writes by saying, remember this, it says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And so Paul is encouraging the believers by saying, we need to be generous. God has given to us. God has blessed us. Right? We can see the many blessings that God has done in our lives. The many things, the goodness. And so he says, you know, sow generously. Whatever is given to you, tell it to the people. Reach out. Spread the good news of the gospel. Yes, my friend, I think all of us would agree with me by saying God has been good in our life. Even in this time of pandemic, we have seen the hand of God working in our life. We have seen how God's love has been just constantly been with us. And the presence of God has always been felt in our life. And many have to hear this good news. The world needs to hear the good news of the gospel, my friend. And secondly, when I look at another passage in Psalm 126, verse 6, we see that the sower is so passionate. It says, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. You know, what's happening here? We see an allusion to the farmer. He's seen moving, right? He's seeing moving slowly, or even sadly over the ground, burdened with his tasks and his tears. You know, it gives us a picture of the passion of the sower. He's so passionate, right? Though in the particular text you might see some kind of brokenness. The brokenness means that he was so passionate about each and every seed. He's telling himself, when I throw this seed, what is going to happen to the seed? His desire, his anticipation is the seed will grow. And that's what the psalmist is writing here. I'm just reminded of Henry Martin, who was a great missionary to India and Persia. He said, now let me burn out for God. Let me burn out for God. He was so passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at this particular passage, realize there is always a difference between a farmer who makes his living from the ground and people like many of us, right, who had some plants on a particular season only. A sower is not just one who occasionally throws some seed in the ground, but one who makes it their lifestyle to sow. And it is their DNA, it is in their blood. They want to sow the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, because that's their lifestyle. And today, I believe God is asking us the same question. What are we doing with the seed? What are we doing with the good news of the gospel given to us? What are we doing with the great things that God has been working in our lives? And how are we doing as sowers? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Or are we like the occasional people who have occasionally have gardens, my friend? Or even sow the seed. Like the sower who does not stockpile, God has given us, and we need to be using the seed, scattering it. And let's look, and you know, secondly, when I look at it, you know, where does he scatter? Where does he scatter? As all of us are very familiar with this parable, you realize there are four different soils that we see. And I believe the farmer is fully aware of the soil. He knows his ground pretty well. And the passage says that he is casting the seed. Though there are negative qualities that is seen, we see firstly in verse 12, right? In verse 12 we read that there was a path that many will not hear. In other words, it was a roadside. In verse 6 you see, it was a roadside kind of a path. That it will be trampled upon and birds will come and eat it up. And so the farmer knows this is hard ground. He knows birds will come and eat, take it away. The farmer could have reasoned it out. But he says, you know, I need to sow. He's not judging the soil. He could have said, I'm just wasting my time, my energy by throwing my seed on the roadside. But he wants to make sure the seeds are also thrown at every ground. Secondly, when you look at, you know, he in verse 6 and 13, you tend to see that some fell on the rocky ground. Right? It says it came up and later on it withered. You know, you see, it was an emotional response. There was no roots. This farmer could have said, you know, why waste my time? Because I know this particular area is not going to produce. He could have said, you know, let me concentrate on something else. But no, he makes sure that his seed is scattered, that even this particular soil will have access to the seed. In verse 14, we tend to see another ground, which is a thorny ground, right? It's another negative ground. And some seed in verse 14 we read, it's fell on thorns. Those who hear, but they are choked up by life worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. In other words, you know, this ground is a ground that's just bothered about the world. It's about riches, it's about pleasures, it's about their things. But even then, the seed is also thrown there. Lastly, we see there's a good soil in verse 5, where it produces receptive ones, where they hear the word of God, they persevere, right, and it produces much. You know, when you look at it, the sower does not judge the soil at all. He does not target the receptive soil. He scatters the seed on all. He could have said, you know, I will choose the one I like because these soil are receptive. But no, he spreads the seed and he leaves it to God, my friend. He knows that my responsibility is sowing and God will do his part. You know, when you look at the parable of the sower, probably it will not work in the business field. Because in the business field, it is not an acceptable thing. We look for an audience, a targeted audience, where we want greater returns. You know, it has to make some kind of sense in the business world. If not, it is not worth. It is different when we come to Bible sowing, my friend. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's the ministry that God has given to us. And we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful and not judge the ground. I remember a time when Adoniram Judson, who was a well-known missionary to Burma, It's a present-day Myanmar. He was in prison and he was just chained in a Burmese dungeon. He was heavily chained. A fellow prisoner wanted to make fun of him and came and, you know, asked him about the prospect for conversion of the heathens. So Justin, you know, calmly answered. He said, "The prospects are as bright as the promises of God." Even though he was in a dungeon, he said, "The prospects are as bright as the promises of God." Yes, my friend, there are different kinds of soil. But it's our responsibility. It's our privilege. It's our call. God has called us not to judge, but to sow the seed of the gospel, my friend. Lastly, let me conclude by looking at the last thing that we learn from this sower. And I like the last thing from this particular passage. You know, if you look at the passage very carefully, the sower does not seek prominence. He does not seek to be in the spotlight or even in the limelight. In verse 5, you realize he's only mentioned one time. Right? When Jesus is teaching, Jesus does not use the name of the sower. What's happening? He's not in the spotlight. The sower is not the issue. It's about the seed. The sower responsibility is to be faithful. We need to be faithful, my friend, to the call that is given to us. And so as many of us are involved in some kind of ministry, we need to be careful. We need to be careful when the messenger becomes more important than the message. Yes, the messenger is important. I'm not saying no. But the message is the focus. The message is the core. And so today, you know, people measure success by what the outcome is. It's about faithfulness when you look at the Word of God very carefully. And so God is not impressed with the big or disappointed with the few. But what He wants, it's faithfulness. And this sower was faithful. He didn't judge the ground and he did what God wanted him to do. Whether the seed will grow or not depends on the soil that is felt upon. Neither the sower nor the seed can be blamed, my friend, for the failure of the seed to grow. Right? I think today God reminds us that it's His Word. And we need to be just doers or even people who will share the Word of God. Let me conclude about a real story that took place in the life of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a great child and a missionary to China. When Hudson Taylor was the director of China Inland Mission, he often interviewed candidates for mission field. One occasion he met a group of applicants who came because they were inspired, they were motivated for service. And so Hudson Taylor, you know, asked a question, simple but a very profound question. He asked, "And why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary?" He asked each and every one of them, "Why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary?" One candidate said, "I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The other person replied by saying, "I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ." And so different people were giving different kinds of answers. Finally, Hudson Taylor said, "You know, all these motives are good. They're wonderful," he said. "But it will fail you in times of testing and trials, in times of tribulation and possible danger. There is one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing, namely the love of Christ. It should be the love of Christ that motivates us, that compels us. What we have experienced in our life, experienced the love of God, should compel us. Today, my friend, you and I have experienced the love of God in our lives. We have seen God work in our lives many times, numerous times, each and every moment in our life. We have seen God's love. And even now the Lord loves us. How wonderful if each and every one of us would take verse 5 of Luke chapter 8 and put our names instead of the word sober and say, went out to sow his seed. If our name is there and continues by saying, went out to sow his seed, how wonderful it would be. And it's our prayer, and let it be our prayer, that God will use each and every one of us to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the world needs the gospel. You and I have the gospel with us. You and I have experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go and let us sow his seed. And I want to pray that God will give us the strength. He will give us the courage. He will give us the boldness. And he will also help us in our way. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love that is in our lives, Father. We just want to pray for many of God who have not heard your word. Father, we pray that we will not just hold on to the good news of the gospel just within us, or even stockpile it, Father. And help us, Lord, not to judge the soil, but help us, Lord, to be faithful because we love you. We pray, God, that you'll continue to use each and every one of us. We thank you because you have entrusted this to us, O God. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.